From Edge Radio 99.3 FM, this is an edit of The Dice Man Cometh, the podcast.
The Dice Man Cometh.
If you're enjoying the return of Game of Thrones to your TV screens...
Yes.
Well, here's a show that broadcasts from a throne of games. Actually, no, we don't really recommend that. Because if you want to keep your game boxes in mint condition...
You don't sit on them.
And you're large and overweight like us. No, we don't recommend it. This is The Dice Man Cometh. We're talking board games and card games and other juicy nerd tidbits on Edge Radio 99.3 FM. My name's Trent. That's Mark.
Hello, Trent. How are you going?
Awesome. What's coming up?
We have got an action-packed show tonight. We are going to talk about our recent International Tabletop Gaming Day event with the Hobart Game Society.
Woo!
We had a ball. We have got a fantastic interview that I did with Ben McKenzie, direct
Woo!
From the Melbourne International Comedy Festival.
Woo!
And we're going to talk about what are the worst possible things that can happen to you playing games.
Woo!
All that much more in the Dice Man Cometh. Here we go.
Okay, to get us started from Norway. Let's hear it for Norway.
Oh, yeah.
Woo! This is Cavell Attack. Radio 99.3 FM with the Dice Man Cometh and Cavell Attack. Yes, you heard right, from Norway. You know how your mum and dad always complain, I can't understand a single word they're saying. It's because you can't. It's in Norwegian. And just to give you a little bit of a glimpse into the behind the scenes here, if we play our own tunes on Edge Radio during our show, we have to enter them into the system for licensing purposes. And that's Mark's job.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm here going, it's K-V-E-L-E. The song's called Spring Fra Livet. You asked for a translation?
Yeah, what does it mean?
When the walls of life are closing in, you best run for the hills.
Run to the hills. Oh, that's another song.
Coming up in the show, we're talking to comedian Ben McKenzie out of Melbourne and the Melbourne Comedy Festival specifically. He's a long-time gamer and a lover of all things nerd, so that's on the way. But in the meantime, what the hell have we been playing?
We have played a truckload of games, literally. For me, a ute load. But I will talk about one particular one because I hadn't got it to the table for a while. It's called Citadels.
This is an oldie.
Yeah. And in fact, you know, common podcaster Eric Summerer on the Dice Tower often refers to it as
Citadels!
Because he hates it. But look, we were talking about, you know, it's got to be the right game for the right crowd. This was the right game for the right crowd, just not maybe at the right time, because it was the last thing of the night. Citadels, you have a set of eight cards, eight different roles, and you start off, the person who's the king gets to pick the first card after you pull one out at random that you're not going to be able to choose, and the king passes the cards around. Each person takes one, it's kept secret, and then the king calls forth these various roles.
And there's the thief.
There's the witch, the thief,
the cook,
the magician,
his lover,
the king,
wait,
the merchant, the bishop, the architect, and the diplomat.
Okay.
And they all have different, like a special power,
sure,
basically.
And when they get called forth, they get to enact that.
Yeah, they do their special power. And, for example, the thief's special power is he gets to steal money from someone else. But the tricky part is you don't say, oh, I'm going to steal money from Trent. You say, oh, I'm going to steal money from the merchant. And you're hoping, for example, if you see Trent with a wad of money in front of him, you're hoping that he's picked the merchant. Or you're trying to work out what people are picked. But, of course, the merchant could be that one random card that was taken out at the start and put face down.
Mm-hmm.
In our game, it was amazingly how many times the thief stole from the person who wasn't present, how often the witch bewitched the person
that wasn't present.
Hang on.
The thief only stole from the person who wasn't present once, and I know that because I was repeatedly the thief.
I thought there was a couple. I think someone else picked it. But
it was
anyway,
very late. We can't remember.
Look, you know, you're building your city, which is made up of districts, which are cards that you pay money for. That part of it is a bit of a hokey system with the districts and everything, but it sort of controls the timing of the game. But the sort of the hidden roles works really well, and I think this was one of Bruno Fiduti's early games, famous game designer from Italy, Bruno Fiduti. And he's taken this mechanic and he's used it a bit in a game called Mission Red Planet with these sort of hidden secret roles.
Oh, is that right?
And there's another game he's done recently, which Masquerade is another one of his where he's done a similar sort of thing with hidden roles, secret powers.
I did think it seemed a little familiar. Mission Red Planet interests me because that's like a steampunk mission to Mars.
Yeah. So you know this game does have a lot of legs. It has been around a while. It was one of the first games I ever played, but you know it is pretty simple. You know, there's only a couple of rules. It is pretty simple to introduce.
Look, I will say it did a good job of keeping, what do we have,
seven
people all engaged.
Yeah.
And everybody sort of in there involved, happening at once, even if it's not necessarily the greatest game. You can still talk a lot of crap to each other while you're playing Citadel.
And look, there aren't that many games that play 7 or 8. It actually, I think you can play up to maybe even 9 with some of the expansions.
Okay. I got my hands on an oldie, Power Grid.
Oh, yeah.
Now, Power Grid, it's 10 years old, all right? This is an absolute classic of a game for
Funkenschlag.
The original name. And I think of this as being a bit of a Monopoly killer. And I think that's purely because it's got all the little houses.
And the paper money.
Exactly. So if you're familiar with Monopoly, it's not too much of a stretch to introduce this to somebody else, although there's a little bit of mental exertion that's required. Now, look, the game sounds incredible. Get this. You've got to supply the most cities with electricity through your network of cables and keep the lights on by bidding for power stations.
Aurora the game.
That is just, that's rock and roll, that is. There's maps of various countries that you can play in. They've got cities connected by all these cables. Each city's got 3 spots that you can occupy of varying costs, connected by cables of varying costs. And you can only build as many cities as you have power or the capacity of your power stations. Not strictly true, actually. You can build more cities than you have power capacity, but then, of course, they're all sitting around in the dark and you won't get money for them. You get to bid on these power stations as they come out each turn. They fire up things like coal and oil and uranium and
garbage
and wind power as well. Part of the game is knowing when to switch from one fuel to another because, of course, coal is plentiful and cheap.
Yep.
Our current dilemma here in Australia, when do you switch to wind power? Apparently never. this is a very mathy game. And I think because you're calculating that capacity and then how much of your income you can spend each turn on the connection. And I think because of this, if you've got that mathy streak in you, this is a gambler's game. I reckon this is a game for smarty pants.
Yeah, I've played it with,
and for risk takers.
I was gonna say, I've played it with people who refuse to play it without a calculator.
Right, right.
That's when you get to that end stage where you're going to work out, okay, I've got to buy 5 coal, I've got to buy 3 uranium, I've got to power this many cities, I want to buy that power plant. If you stuff up your sums, it can be catastrophic.
And you're playing with paper money, which is a pain in the bum.
Yeah,
really is.
Poker chips would be brilliant in this game.
I suppose you could just sort of.
No, you can add your own poker chips
in various denominations. Yeah, look, that's I think I'll do that because this is on my to buy list.
Oh yeah.
All right, after just one play, it's such a classic, and I think it's so completely simple to explain, but there's a lot of depth to it and a lot of number crunching. But I mean, look, you got to add up to about 20-25. Right?
Yeah.
So it's not actually that.
No, you're right. I mean,
it's hard for me, but
I did scoff at those people using calculators as I won the first game I ever played of it without a calculator.
But despite being so simple and despite the paper money, it's still a game that you can really use to club your opponents over the head with. So, look, fantastic. That is Funkenschlag, a.k.a. Power Grid. And we played these games at the International Tabletop Day.
We did.
For the Hobart Game Society. 12 hours of gaming that we had.
12 hours of power
at
game.
The Lena Valley Club. Should we do a bit of a report on what that was like?
Yeah, or do we have much time before we're going to
next song and we'll come back and we'll talk about that. We'll talk about International Tabletop Day. Here on Edge Radio 99.3 FM.
Fantastic.
Manamana.
Ba-bee-ba-dee-dee.
Peak on Edge Radio 99.3 FM with Trent and Mark, the Dice Men Cometh, also part of the Hobart Game Society. Here in little old Taswija town. And we recently held our International Tabletop Day event for the 5th of April. There were thousands of events going on right around the globe.
It was amazing, actually. Something like 3,000 events around the world is what I saw.
More than that. I think it was up closer to 4. It was 3,000. You know, I wrote this down last week, actually. Last year, Last year it just went over 3,000 events in 64 countries. I think we're up closer to four.
Wow.
And this is, of course, run by Will Wheaton and his tabletop crew, who are currently kick-starting season four.
Season three,
thank you.
And they're already, I think, it had only been running 5 days and they're already halfway there.
Can I be honest? I don't actually watch tabletop.
Look,
I find it boring.
I watched all of the first season, probably half of the second season.
We should explain. They're getting geeky celebrities in together to play board games and turning it into a spectator sport.
Yeah, and for me, like at the start, it was really intriguing watching how they actually turned a board game into a TV show to make it entertaining. Mm-hmm. The second one, I pretty much picked and chose what I watched if I was interested in the game or maybe a couple of the celebrities. But it did get a bit long-winded.
But it's been hugely successful for the hobby, and basically any game that's been on that show has had a spike in sales.
Yeah, absolutely.
And these guys are running this International Day of Tabletop Gaming where people play games in public. Can you believe it? And we invited people in for 12 hours from noon till midnight at the Lena Valley Community Hall. I guess I rocked along there about 11:30, started setting up tables, dragged my wife in to help me out. She was complaining the whole time. No, I shouldn't say that. No, she was great. Set up, I thought 10 tables. Would that be enough? I had 9.
Yeah.
That's right.
I mean, look, my biggest concern actually was, because we're in the large part of the hall where we don't normally go, the dancers are normally there while we're in the background doing
the gaming.
Yeah. And my initial concern was, is it going to be 3 people around 3 tables in the back corner and look really scared? I came along at late because I had kids' soccer and things like that. I came along late and just in time to see the 10th table dragged out because the 9 were full. The hall was chockers.
Yeah, look, we had a pretty good crowd in by 1 o'clock, even. We're just within the first hour, and some familiar faces turning up, but some new faces as well, which is great.
Yeah, always great to see new people.
We talked about the great Nerd Purge secondhand swap that was here. A couple of faces from there just came along out of the blue to come and try some games out.
Yeah.
So they were playing Ticket to Ride.
Our old buddy Joseph, who used to have a show on Edge Radio, and had me on about, when was that? Maybe 2 years ago or 18 months ago to talk about board games on one show. Look what that's turned into. He came along.
And we had some people rock up. One lady in particular turned up and said, "Oh my God, I'm really scared." I'm thinking, what's the worst that can happen? Which actually got me thinking, and that's something I want to talk about a little bit later in the show. But I think we can safely say that we had a successful day. We had about 60 people.
Well, look, we were there till midnight. You know, we still had,
I had 20
people there at the end.
I had to bug out in the middle of the day. I actually went to see Captain America in the middle of the whole day, which is a fantastic, fun superhero movie.
Yeah.
Took my family to that. But it seemed to be going pretty well.
Yeah, look,
all the
and
way
people,
through.
The great thing was, I guess, people had the freedom to go away, get some food, come back, and it never really died off. It was fantastic. I saw so many games being played. Seven Wonders came out again and again. Roll Through the Ages was the one I hadn't played for a while. I got a game of that in. I've already mentioned Citadels. King of Tokyo was popping up left, right and centre. There was quite a few copies of those. I even saw, would you believe, I've never seen it before, World of Warcraft, the board game.
Apparently it's good.
It looked a bit like Catan.
I took one look at the title and said, no, I'm not touching that. But everyone who actually played it over the weekend and another night I saw it come out at Hogs actually rates it.
Wow.
Yeah, so, look, I stand corrected.
Yeah, some other games that you saw?
Terra Mystica Ghost Stories.
Oh, yeah.
I actually played a game of that, which is a great little sort of Chinese-themed cooperative thing.
Oh, you have to talk about that another time because I haven't played that.
Yeah, fighting off ghosts. Ticket to Ride. The game of Terra Mystica seemed to be going for an awfully long time.
Yeah,
but then John was playing it. I think Battlestar Galactica got a run. Gravwell was there.
Oh, yep.
Yeah, and you had to go and mention Seven Wonders, didn't you?
Yes.
You had to.
Yes.
Hasn't hit the table for a while.
How did the game of Seven Wonders go, Trent?
Well, suffice to say, I didn't win again. However.
Missed it by that much.
Second place by 1 point, the young lass, Leah, who won. Who was coaching her through the game, Mark? Who was coaching her every step of the way?
You were, Trent.
Exactly.
You were.
Exactly. I claim that as a moral victory. We might have to get that out again and have it hit the table. So.
Yes. It goes down so well.
I've never won the game.
Yeah.
So annoying. Okay, coming up soon on the Dice Man Cometh, we'll talk to Ben McKenzie. His show, what's it
ben
called?
Ben McKenzie is Uncool.
Showing at the Melbourne Comedy Festival through until April. He talks about D&D on stage. The guy,
board games.
He makes his own games.
Yeah,
as
he
well.
Makes his like his company makes live experience games. I think he talks about that in the interview.
And Mark had a chat to him during the week, and we'll catch up with him next on Edge Radio 99.3 FM. I like that one. The Philip the Hawk Rapids on Edge Radio, 99.3 FM. It's the Dice Men Cometh with Trent and Mark and Ben McKenzie, comedian from the Melbourne Comedy Festival. Here's Mark's interview with him from earlier in the week.
Here we are on the Dice Men Cometh. It's Mark here, and I'm talking to gamer, role player, and comedian Ben McKenzie. Welcome, Ben.
Pleasure to be here.
We're really happy to have you. It's not often you come across gaming comedians or comedian gamers. I've got to ask you, our audience will be really curious to know, what have you been getting to the table lately?
What have I played? I recently played Space Truckers for the first time.
Is that, Galaxy Truckers?
Oh, Galaxy Truckers. Yeah, sorry, Galaxy Truckers.
Yeah, it is.
That's a great game.
It is fantastic, isn't it? And talk about comedy, that moment when your ship takes one hit to the exact middle and splits into two pieces and one piece floats off into outer space.
Yeah, man, I got really lucky during the first ship build on my first game, and it went really well. I like order, so I tried to build my ships very symmetrically, and that gets really hard when they get bigger, and it just didn't work out that way.
Absolutely. And look, I've also got to ask you, is there anything in the board game world that you're looking forward to coming up, a new game, maybe an old game that you haven't got to the table yet? Is there something you're excited about?
Well, I'm a big cheap ass games fan way back, and I've been following their Kickstarters for their newer games, and I've got their first couple. So I got they did Unexploded Cow, and then they did Deadwood Studios, but the new one that they're doing, which is not a remake of an old one, is Get Lucky, which is a card game based on Kill Dr. Lucky, was the first cheap ass game I ever got, one of their first ones, and still one of my favourites. I've got all of the old expansion boards and stuff for it, so I'm really excited to see what the card game is like. It sounds like it's going to be great, so I should be getting that soon, I think.
Fantastic. And when we were chatting earlier, you mentioned to me that it's your birthday today, so happy birthday. And
Thank you.
I hear you bought yourself a present.
I did. I bought myself a few presents, but I did, in fact, buy the Battlestar Galactica board game.
Oh, yeah.
So I've never played it because, and to my shame, as a proper nerd, until very recently, I had never watched the reimagined series of Battlestar Galactica.
Hang on, I'm going to have to end the interview right here,
okay? It's okay, I'm nearly at the end. I've only got the last two episodes to go. I've been watching them with a friend of mine on Twitter. Yeah. She lives in New South Wales, and she's coming down to visit for the comedy festival, and we're going to watch the finale together and play the board game.
Fantastic. And look, before we go to talk about your show, because that's the key thing we want to talk to you about, Ameritrash or Eurosnoot, what are you?
Oh, because I do like a little of both, but I think I'm primarily a Eurosnoot. I mean, I am. I think the test for that for me is that I would much rather play Carcassonne than Arkham Horror. Like, I like the idea of Arkham Horror, but all those bits and so many things to keep track of. I like a little bit of, although having said that, when I design games, which we might get to talk a bit about later, I tend to make them too complicated, and I've made a real effort over the last couple of years to simplify my designs, and I think that's the influence of the Euro games. So I guess if I have to pick one or the other,
you're Eurosnoot. Sure. Okay, fair enough. Well, Trent may not talk to you, but I certainly will. So now the exciting news: you're in the Melbourne Comedy Festival.
It's my seventh or eighth one.
Wow,
eighth one, I think.
Yep.
Yes. So it's exciting. It's a big time every year in Melbourne. It just goes crazy. All the comedians are running around. And I got to say, I know you said at the top of the interview that you don't hear of many board game playing comedians, but actually a whole bunch of comedians are very nerdy. And I have played board games with comedians in town.
Okay, so I say our very first show was an interview with Tommy Dean, actually.
Oh yeah, I love Tommy Dean. Yeah. He has the biggest board game collection of anyone I know, and his list on BGG is just off the hook. Like, he's just played everything.
Well, he's a former Australian Blood Bowl champion. I don't know if you know what Blood Bowl is?
Yeah, absolutely. I never got to play it myself, but I had friends who were big Warhammer players, and they played Blood Bowl as well. Like, that's a fascinating game. I wish that we had spectator Blood Bowl, because I would have loved to have watched Tommy play it in his heyday.
So, do you want to tell us a bit about your show?
So I've been, like I said, doing comedy. I've been in the comedy festival for about 7 years, and I started doing stand-up about 10 years ago. But most of that time I've spent doing collaborative stuff, like sketch comedy. I did a podcast about Doctor Who with a friend of mine, and other stuff. And now I wanted to do a new solo show. And this show really is just about all the stuff. It's called Ben McKenzie is Uncool, and it's just about all the stuff that I like that I think mainstream culture doesn't like. Yes. And that includes a lot of nerdy stuff, like board games. And you know what it's like when you say board games to most people. Yes. They think Scrabble or Pictionary.
Monopoly.
Monopoly. Mm. I actually have a list at the start of the show that I read out of things that I think are cool that most people don't.
Yes.
And one of the things on that list is all board games except Monopoly. And excellent. Then I ask the audience if anyone thinks they like Monopoly, because my theory is that people only think they like Monopoly if they haven't played enough other board games to understand they're supposed to be fun.
I've always said Monopoly would be a great game if it went for 15 minutes, but the problem is the fun runs out after 15 minutes, the game goes for 3 hours, and it just sucks the life out of you.
And it's just a terrible, like, from a design point of view, I think it's a terrible design. I mean, it's a great model of capitalism gone wrong.
Yes. Right?
Because, which I've heard the original designer wanted it to be a satire of capitalism. And it's, I think it works great for that. It's not much fun, though.
Yeah.
There's very little skill involved in it. It's a very luck-heavy game.
You're listening to an interview with comedian Ben McKenzie and Mark from The Dice Man Cometh here on Edge Radio 99.3 FM. They're having a nice little chat to him there, aren't you, mate?
Yeah, we got on lovely.
It just sounds like you two are ready to just move into a house together.
Well, the good news is he is going to come and play games with us when he comes to Hobart with his show.
And we'll hear some more of this love-in in just a moment on The Dice Man Cometh. This is Phobiac, Boy in Progress. Dice Man Cometh, Edge Radio, 99.3 FM with Trent and Mark, and the second part of Mark's chat with his new BFF, Ben McKenzie, who's now appearing at the Melbourne Comedy Festival. It sounds like this.
I wanted to ask you, with your show, obviously you're doing a show about nerdy, geeky stuff. Are you ever worried that the audience is laughing at you and not with you?
No, actually, but that's a fair question. I think no, because for two reasons. Number one is I bill it pretty directly as a nerdy show, so I don't get a lot of people coming along who think they're going to get, you know, jokes about cricket and beer.
Yeah.
Right? I get people coming knowing that it's going to have references to Dungeons and Dragons, that I'm going to talk about science, that I'm going to talk about, nerdy stuff and stuff that's not in the mainstream. But also, I do take pains to try and make it accessible. I mean, the point of the show is to celebrate these things that I love and to communicate them to other people, much like you do at, you know, Dice Man Cometh, in a way that is welcoming. Because one of the things that I love about there's two things about geek culture that are important in the context of the show. One that I love, which is that we're just passionate about things.
Yes.
Like, as nerds who are into things, whether it's games or comics or sci-fi, we just wear passion on our sleeves.
Yes.
You know, it's a virtue to us, and we want people to love the things that we love. But the flip side of that I don't like about geek culture is you do see this kind of gatekeeping that started to creep in, particularly around conventions, where people say that some people, you know, you're not a proper fan because, or, you know, it's particularly bad against women, against people who are new to things. Like in Doctor Who, if you've only watched the new series, there are some fans who think you're not a real fan. All that stuff, I hate that. So the show is also a reaction against that, where I want to get back to that root of, you know, we love this stuff, we're nerdy about it, that means we want everyone to love it, it'll tell you how great it is.
Okay, and I did do a little bit of research. I did see on your website where you made a conscious decision not to get involved in PAX.
Yeah, that was a big. I think it was a big decision for me. I really don't think it was a big deal for PAX. anyway, but so I have a games company called Pop Up Playground.
Yep.
We don't make board games or video games or other tabletop games. We make what's called live games or pervasive games.
Oh, wow.
Or sometimes street sports. Yep. So they're games that you play in person with other people, sometimes with props. But anyway, we were going to be doing a panel with a few other people about those sorts of new games,
yep.
games that don't involve screens. Or controllers or the tabletop. We then, when some of the controversial things happened in the lead up to the festival, where there were some statements made by one of the guys from Penny Arcade yeah. about trans people, and there was, I can't remember what the other thing he did was now, it's so long ago.
Yeah.
But they were pretty awful. And basically, our stance was, look, it'd be nice to go to PAX,
yeah.
it'd be nice to talk to the audience, but if even one person feels that they are not welcome at one of our events because we're associated with PAX and this has made them feel uncomfortable,
yes.
it's not worth it as far as we're concerned
yeah.
for everyone.
Okay.
So,
do you want to just touch on one of your games from Pop-Up Playground for us to give us an example of the type of game you're talking about?
Like one of the first big ones we did was basically a mod of Werewolf. So I'm sure that your listeners
yes.
are familiar with Werewolf or Mafia,
yes.
the game where, you know, some people are secret traders. Well, we made a version of that, which we've eventually called Spy Catcher, and mm. It's a spy-themed version.
Yes.
But the important thing is that it's played with a certain number of players who are usually guest comedians or actors,
mm.
and then an arbitrarily large audience who are also involved in the game. So That was one of the early ones, but a lot of games at our recent festival, Fresh Air, they made a game together called Little Monsters Big Day Out, mm. and this was a really fun, silly game where you got to put on a giant monster tail,
yeah.
and then we would give you a little stuffed toy monster, and it'd have a little speech balloon on a stick, and the speech balloon would say something like, I want to go really high, and you'd have to run off with the monster, find a spot, or a thing that matched the little adventure that he wanted to have
yes.
on his speech balloon, take a little selfie of the monster with the speech balloon doing the thing, and then run back and show us the photo, at which point we'd take the monster from you, give you another one,
yeah.
and you have to try and get as many adventures completed in the 5 minutes as you could. So, you know, that's sort of the simple end, and
yeah.
then sometimes we have more complicated things, like we invented a street sport called Gong, which is it's kind of like hockey or soccer, but instead of having one ball, you have a whole bunch of beanbags, and as the game goes along, you can draw cards that change some of the rules. So it's a
okay.
little bit
sounds like inspired. I was going to say it sounds like Flux with balls.
Yeah, it's a little bit like that. So there's quite a range of different ones, but those are a couple of examples.
Okay, and so in this current Melbourne Comedy Festival, what's been the reaction to your show so far?
One of the fun things about the show is that I decided to, because I love games so
yeah.
much, I made sort of half the show kind of a game. So I have a set of cards that have bits that I can do on them, and audience members take it in turns to draw two cards and pick which one they want to see.
Excellent.
And we can't get through them all in the one show.
Yeah.
So usually we get through five or six of them at the most. So
interactive comedy.
Yeah, and it's different every night, but it's
wow.
very gentle. Like a lot of people get afraid of audience interaction for very good reason. Like some comedians are,
yes.
are a bit mean, and it's not always pleasant to be singled out. But I like to think that the kind of interaction I have in my show either involves everyone,
yes.
or it's very, you know, it's low stress,
okay.
low risk.
Fantastic. And so you've still got some shows to go, haven't you?
Yeah. So I'm running all the way through to the end of the comedy festival, which is April 20th.
Yep.
Every night except Thursdays and Saturdays, which is might seem like weird nights to have off, but, you know, that's just how the venue
yes.
goes.
And, look, is there anything more you want to bring to the table?
I've got a Kickstarter that I could talk
yeah,
about.
Yeah, okay.
Which is for an audio sci-fi comedy series.
Oh, wow.
It's called Night Terrace, and it's about a scientist who used to save the world for a secretive government organization, but she's retired just to live a quiet life in the suburbs, only to find that the house she has moved into, this little suburban terrace house,
yes.
suddenly starts traveling randomly through time and space, and she's stuck in it having adventures, along with a guy who was on her doorstep trying to sell her a new electricity plan at the time. So I'm playing the guy who was trying to sell her the electricity plan,
yep.
and that's Eddie Jones, and the lead, the scientist, Anastasia Black, is being played by Jackie Woodburn, who plays Susan in Neighbours.
Wow, not that you're not a real actor, but like a real well-known actor.
Yes,
that's pretty amazing,
right.
yeah.
I have to admit, I've been thinking, what else can we do with the Night Terrors franchise? And I thought, there's got to be a board game in this. I've got to be able to make a board game out of this thing.
It sounds like you possibly could, and you probably have better luck than Trent and I have had with our... we've talked about the Thylacine Hunt. We've come up with a number of ideas of how to get the Tasmanian government to fund our board game. So, of course, we had to have the tourist angle. The other one we liked the idea of was a sort of the a hidden traitor one, where it's based on the convicts who escaped from the west coast of Tasmania into the bush and they had basically ate each other.
Yeah.
That would
yeah.
be great for a hidden traitor role game, I reckon.
That'd be creepy, yes. That'd be great.
Go to sleep and you wake up and you've lost a leg.
And you could... That ties into so many things. Oh, wow. I like that. I like that
a
lot.
You can use it if you like, because I don't know that the Tasmanian government is going to go for it, actually.
Well, I think you should do it. I think if you kickstart it, I will back that.
Okay, brilliant.
All the way. And particularly the thylacine one, though. That'd be great.
Ben, thank you so much for your time today. Just before we go, tell us how we can get in touch with you, how we can find out what you're doing.
You can find me on Twitter at LabCoatMan. You can find me on Facebook by looking for Ben McKenzie Comedian, not the other Ben McKenzie, who's much more famous than me and about to play the young Commissioner Gordon in the new Batman TV show.
Really?
That's unfortunate, more famous person with the same name. And my website, I've got a few, but there's labcoatman.com.au
yes.
is the main one. And if you want to know more about Pop-Up Playground, you can find us at Pop-Up Playground on Twitter, also Pop-Up Players on Twitter. Or popupplayground.com.au. You can find out when we're running events.
This is the Dice Man Cometh on Edge Radio 99.3 FM, and that was our interview with Ben McKenzie. And when exactly is he moving in with you? There, Mark, you two are just getting along.
Well, maybe when we design our Alexander Pierce convict cannibal game together.
I'm loving this idea of a cannibal, some kind of social cannibal game. Where, you know, you've got to, like, pull your arm into your sleeve and keep playing Jenga with just one hand, or eventually with no arms.
A dexterity cannibal game.
Maybe that's how they play it in Saudi Arabia. I don't know. Is that a racist joke? I think it might be. We're going to talk about what else could possibly go wrong when you're playing a board game next on The Dice Man Cometh. Right now, this is Caveman and Ankles.
That was Ankles by the Cavemen. Hopefully the ankles aren't getting chopped off at the foot. We are the Dice Men Cometh on Edge Radio 99.3 FM. You're here with Mark, that's me, and Trent over there.
And we've totally been brainstorming this cannibal game, this Tasmanian cannibal game. We're thinking that it has to be some kind of voting mechanism at the table where you're voting who you eat each round,
yeah.
And then that person loses a limb, and then you vote again. I don't know, but there's got to be... Because then if you're playing with cards, I want to have the sensation of having to throw a card in and play a card without any hands. Yeah, that's got to be part of the game somehow.
I don't know. Look, it could also have the hidden traitor element where you eat someone in the middle of the night, or you at least eat their leg. I think there's a whole lot there.
And then someone gives you indigestion.
Oh, dear. Look, we'll keep working on that. Maybe we'll put it in our designer diary. But we were going to talk about... What are the worst things that can happen playing games? And before we get into this, I just want to quickly say, one of the worst things that can happen when you're running a gaming group is people are a pain in the backside. One of the worst things that can happen to a gaming group is when a man who has devoted many, 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 many hours decides he needs a break. It's a sad thing, but I want to pay tribute to our departing president, Trent, who has worked tirelessly for the Hobart Game Society, as well as doing this fabulous radio show that we do together.
Thank you.
Trent, you are going to be missed. You have been a fantastic, steadying influence to our gaming group and our gaming society. And you came at a time when there was a bit of a schism between a few personalities who might have been difficult to handle. I may have been one of those.
In a nerd group?
Yeah.
No. Tightly wound, overweight white men?
I just wanted the listener to know that... You are going to be missed.
That's nice of you, mate. Thank you. Thank you very much. No, I just need to take a little bit of a break from some of the politics and organisation for a little bit, just to take a breath.
So apart from that being one of the worst things that could happen in a gaming group?
Well, look, the last event that I helped to organise was our International Tabletop Day last week, and we were talking about that earlier. I mentioned we had a couple of young ladies who came in the middle of the day going, we're really scared, we don't know what to expect, but they were brave enough to turn up, and I respect that. Mm. And they had themselves a good time as well, but it just got me thinking, how bad could it possibly be? You've heard about this event on the radio, you turn up to it, I mean, you could be raped and killed by a cult, I suppose so, or killed and raped, I don't know what order it's worse. But look, we're talking about, this is the crux of it, we're talking about nerds, we're talking about socially awkward people, that's who we're talking about, but look, you're coming into this event, you're going to be playing a board game.
At least there was a daytime event, but that probably took away a bit of the apprehension.
A little bit of the fear, I suppose. Yes, and you know, we were in an area with decent mobile phone service, you can always call the cops. But it did just get me thinking, what is the worst thing that could possibly happen? And I know that you had a situation recently with another new person who came to the group.
Oh, yes.
Mark, who joined a table and... Well, you tell the story.
Well, look, let's just say that this person came along a little bit later and some of the games had already started. And so they joined a lovely young lady, as it turns out, joined the table with three larger young men who were all consuming fast food. So there's a bit of a smell there, let's say. Look, they introduced it to a game. They were very friendly. I've heard very good reports of this game. Unfortunately, perhaps the food didn't agree quite with the bowels of one of them, who decided that he didn't want to leave the table mid-game to break wind. Look, I'd say, fellas, if you're playing a game with men, don't just drop your guts there. But if you're playing a game with young ladies that have never come along to Hogs before...
Particularly when it's someone you don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, amongst friends, it's all right. You can even get bonus points for it. But not with someone you don't know, particularly someone of the opposite sex. Cause let's face it, we're trying to put our best face on here. Was it audible, and did they own up to it?
No, apparently not.
Not really?
No, it was silent but deadly.
Oh, dear. So I went onto the Facebooks and started asking people about their worst gaming experiences. Julius said that one chap that he knew had a bad roll, and thus a handful of dice were cast at a high-speed ceiling fan, and the whole room took cover as little shards of plastic went everywhere. David Sinclair says that he's seen punches thrown, and observers had to dash to protect their figurines. I'm guessing that was probably a game of Warhammer.
Yeah.
With some tightly wound, overweight white people.
Oh, yes.
Young Ben has referred to an incident where there was an accidental sack tap. We don't know if that was accidental or not, really.
Yeah, I don't know where to go with that. Look, before we go, we've got time for one more quick song. In Citadels, I was talking about someone gets to be the king. This guy, Dave Graney, he's king of the dudes.
This has been an edit of The Dice Men Cometh from Edge Radio 99.3 FM, Hobart's independent youth station. Find us on Facebook and edgeradio.org.au.